Welcome to the BetUS College Football Show. This is the October 10th Week 7 Preview Show, part number one. I'm your host, Gary Seegers. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at GaryWCE and also on Twitter at WinningCures. All right, let's go ahead and bring in the fellas. Let's not waste a bunch of time talking about what was last week. Let's bring them in. On the left side of the screen, our analyst, the stats guy. I call him the numerical guru. He is at StatsOWAR on Twitter. Parker Fleming, how are the numbers treating you, my friend?
Yeah, I got to say, it's a wonderful point in the season when we get football on the same day that we have a show. And that started even better than last season because we got Tuesday and Wednesday football. We got two just great teams playing tonight in Liberty and Jack State. Man, I'm so excited about weeknight football. It's a great time of year, my friend.
Most certainly. I agree with you on this. The CUSA stuff is fantastic because it used to just be the MAC in November, and now we have CUSA with Tuesday and Wednesdays in October, MAC in November. I think starting on last Thursday or last Wednesday, it was 49 straight days of football. You can't beat that. Can't beat that. On the right side of the screen, of course, you guys know him as the Totals King. He is our award-winning professional handicapper. He is at Kyle Hunter Picks on Twitter. Kyle Hunter, how you feeling, brother?
Man, still haven't let the races turn out a little bit better here for the week ahead. But, this type of thing happens, and I'm doing better than Mario Cristobal, I'll say that.
I think there's a lot of us doing better than Mario. Whew! Boy, that was a rough one on Saturday night in Miami. I mean, just unbelievable. I don't have the words for that one. But it does set up a pretty big one this week, and we're going to talk about Miami and North Carolina later on. Of course, I think that'll be on Wednesday's show. Look, before we kick this thing off, let's go ahead and talk, and we'll talk about winning some prizes, okay? BetUS is celebrating its 30th season by giving away one tough truck this season. You can visit betustv.com/toughtruck for more information. Of course, right here on the College Football Show, you see the graphic on the screen, of course. We're giving away one entry per show to win the truck, along with other fun prizes such as tailgating packages and tickets to football games. The only key is you got to be watching live, and you got to be a member at BetUS, which you can do by visiting betustv.com/join. Kyle, can you do me a favor and tell everybody what they've got to do to earn an entry here?
Yeah, like you said, first you'd be a member of BetUS. If you're not already, I don't know why you aren't, but sign up there at BetUS. And also get in the chat over in the live chat. Guess who's going to have that golden ticket at the end of the show? Is it going to be Gary? Is it going to be Parker? Is it going to be myself? Your guess is there in the chat, and they'll be selecting somebody to be entered into that giveaway.
Most certainly. The production team, of course, as Kyle was talking about, they're going to put the names into some kind of randomizing machine in the back, and it's going to randomly pick a winner. So you got to tell us who's got the golden ticket. Myself, Kyle, Parker, you let us know in the chat. Parker, I'm going to get your help here. Tell everybody how they can support the show and help us out every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, so a couple things you can do. One, you got to subscribe to the show, because the other thing that you can do in addition to subscribing is be in the comments, or excuse me, in the chat. It's live. It's only for subscribers there. And if you're in the chat, you can participate in the show, be part of the community. Make sure you like it. We want to see as many people liking the show as are in the chat. It's maybe even arguably easier to like the show than it is to log in and to chat. So do all that. And then make sure you share the show. If you like it, surely you got somebody in your life who would enjoy it as well. So share it. Share it out there to other people that would like football. We've grown a ton and are so humbled by how many people support us, and we just appreciate that as well. So like, subscribe it, get in the chat, tell us we're off, tell us we're on, tell us where Julius is, and then share the show with other friends as well.
I love it. Tell us where Julius is. Make sure and do the same thing for our brothers, of course, Jared, Fez, and Las Vegas Chris on the BetUS NFL show. They're with you every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time, not long after our second show every week. All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and recap our records so far this season. Okay, we're getting back there. We're getting back, okay? We're after a 5-2 week 7, I'm sitting at 15-15-2 on the year, okay? Parker is now 15-16-1 after a 3-2 week last week. Kyle now 10-16-1 after a 2-4 week. Overall, we are 40-47-4, which means, again, we're not so far out of it that we can't get back above even with a really good week. So, you know, we're getting there. But the last couple of weeks, some bad beats, but those are going to flip our way pretty soon. They're going to flip our way very, very soon. So I've got good feelings about this. All right. If you want to get in on the action, make sure and visit betustv.com/join. If you want to track the odds along with us during the show, you can visit betustv.com/odds. For those watching live, of course, we always do a Q&A segment to close out. Toss your questions into the chat. We're going to hit as many as possible at the end of the show. Okay. Along with that, before we get into the games, all that good stuff, I have to let everybody know, our team heard your requests, okay? We have turned the feature on for you guys to become, I think it's called super fans of the channel. Now, unfortunately, YouTube won't let us make it free, so we have made it the lowest monthly price that they will allow, which is 99 cents. For those that don't know, if you sign up to be a super fan, your name gets highlighted in green with the BetUS avatar in the chat, like I think once you've been signed up for a month, and you get access to 4 custom emojis. Now, right now, we've got one with Kyle's face that says under on it, one with Parker's face that says stats on it, and we've got one that says pizza money with a slice of pizza, and another that says let's cash with a dollar bill in the back. Now, the more fans we get, the more emojis our team makes. So, you know, if enough people sign up, the next emoji is going to be one of me. So if that is something you are interested in, it's there. If you're not, ain't no thing. We just wanted to let you know that the team heard you loud and clear, and it's there if you want it. So if you want to be a super fan on this channel, you can now do that. Okay. We appreciate you guys requesting it. We wish we could make it free. I don't know much about it. So, Parker, I see you calling for me. What have you got here?
Oh, no, sorry. I think I messed up my camera. So I was talking to the producer in the chat. Gotcha. My bad. Yeah, no.
I just saw it up and said, talk to me, call on me. Like, what's...
Gary, can I donate and become a super fan so that people can't use my face as an emoji? Is there like a counterbalance that I can do there?
You know what? We would have to talk to the team in the background. I don't know too much about it. But here's what I know is they don't have one of me, and I'm okay with that for right now. But if enough people sign up and want it, then they can have it, and we'll figure it out. I don't know much about these emojis or whatever, but hey, it is what it is. So again, we wish it was free. I don't know what the 99-cent thing does, but either way, I vote that we go ahead and move to games now so that we don't have to talk about these emojis anymore. Let's move to game at number one on the slate. We got quite a few of them that we got to hit today. So let's roll through. CUSA Midweek Madness, of course, continues Wednesday night. The UTEP Miners, they take the trip down to Miami. They're going to face the FIU Panthers, Florida International. This one's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. This line has moved 4 points since it opened on Sunday. FIU now a 2-point favorite at BetUS. The total is 44 on this. So, UTEP won 40-6 over FIU at home last year. And since the start of 2022, UTEP is 1-2 against the spread as a road favorite. So, they haven't exactly been in that role often at all. But they're only 2-7 against the spread and 1-8 straight up away from home. Florida International 4-2 against the spread in their last 6 as a home dog. Parker, I want to start with you on this one. UTEP coming off a bye here. FIU's quarterback Jenkins got a little bit banged up against New Mexico State last week, but he is expected to play this week. UTEP, they were supposed to be able to compete in this conference with all the JUCOs that Dana Dimmel brought in, but that has not proven to be the case so far. I mean, these are two pretty bad teams. I'm curious what your numbers say on this one.
Yeah, man, UTEP started the season with a win over, well, not started the season, but had a FCS win 5 weeks ago, 28-14 over UIW, who was severely depleted this year, and they have lost 4 straight games by double digits. It is just not good. It feels like they're very, very thin, especially in the lines. I think that when we looked at this team and we looked at the history of Dimmel, we thought, hey, the lines at least are going to be pretty consistent, and then Hardison can chuck it, and maybe they'll be okay here, and just has not looked good in any way, shape, or form. 117th in EPA per play margin, 111th on offense, 105th on defense. You know, they've been able to be a little bit successful in the run game, but really, really have not done anything explosive-wise, just barely getting the minimum done, 122nd in EPA per rush. One thing that I think makes a good argument for FIU here, UTEP has been awful at getting quality possessions, 105th in the nation in echo rate, but they're 85th in points per echo. Again, that's telling me they're able to break off a big play for a touchdown every once in so often, and that's kind of how they're scoring. FIU, on the other hand, though, is really bad at giving up quality possessions, 121st in the nation, but they're 15th in points per quality possession. And that field shortens, that Panther defense gets much better. And I think UTEP, not even close to the name of the school, UTEP. I was going like UTSA and then said UTEP, UTEP is going to have a lot of trouble if they can even get quality possessions twisting the knife. And I don't think they're going to be able to break the explosiveness at all. So I've got this FIU just by one. I understand the line movement here. I get it. I think it was wrong team favorite from the very beginning there. So slight lean towards the Panthers. It's hard to trust them with Jenkins and the injury and a young team growing. But hey, Wednesday night, it's Vice night. I'm going to wear my FIU Panthers shirt. Might even wear it tomorrow just for fun. I should have worn it today talking about this game. But yeah, I think FIU at home is a solid team and they should win this. With teams this bad on kind of both sides of the ball, it's hard for me to have a strong play, but slightly lean towards the home team here.
Agreed. Agreed. Kyle, we'll move over to you. At Parker, I'm so glad that you brought up Vice Night. Kyle, you know I love the five factors. I talk about it every single week. FIU has an advantage here, and I especially love when a team has an advantage in penalties and turnover margin, which FIU does here pretty significantly. Tell me what you're seeing in this matchup.
Yeah, first, sicko special to start us off here, Gary. And I know people in the chat are probably thinking this was me. This was not me in this case, but I think Gary's getting a lead on me on the sickest of the sicko games at this point. I have to say,
my record in CUSA and MAC games this year has been awesome. Just personal bets and on the show. I seem to have those two conferences figured out. And Parker the same with the CUSA stuff. I mean, it is, we have a significant advantage in that conference for whatever reason right now. So I'm going to keep pulling the sicko games to see if I can't find a way to get that record, you know, back up to what I'm used to.
Well, no, definitely no judgment here. And, you know, I love these type of games. I think UTEP is in pretty dire straits at this point. This team wasn't really good with Hardison in there. I know Hardison was going to be worked out in practice today on Tuesday to see if he'll be able to play in this one. I know their second string and third string quarterbacks are also hurt. So there's a very real chance UTEP could be playing a fourth string quarterback here in this game. I think that's why we've seen the line move the way it has, as much as it has. Tyron Smith, also a game time decision. And really, they're kind of short on playmakers to start with. So UTEP really can't afford to have guys like this out. Wide receiver, a really weak position for them to begin with. I think UTEP, you know, you think of them, and I think this is what Parker was saying too. You think of UTEP as being a team that should be able to line up and run the ball with the coach that they have. And really, they haven't been able to do it. They're 85th in yards per carry on the season. They're negative 1.02 yards per play margin on the season thus far. So they've been getting beat pretty badly. It's not any kind of fluke. FIU's negative 0.26 yards per play margin. FIU has played a little bit weaker schedule, but I think it's fair to say the current UTEP team is far worse than the UTEP team in the first week or two because they have some major injuries. Not a lot of positive things to say about FIU. I mean, we can't sit here and say FIU is a great team by any means, but I do think McIntyre is a good coach. I would give them the coaching edge in a game like this. And Gary already brought it up, but UTEP is 118th in penalty yards per game, 15 yards per game worse than is FIU. That could definitely matter in a game with this kind of spread. So I lean FIU in this one. I think this could be one of those really ugly games where FIU finds a way.
That's exactly the direction I'm going here. FIU is not very good, but this team is certainly better than UTEP, especially this version of UTEP. Full transparency, I bet this thing at FIU +2, but I like it all the way up to -3. I've got FIU by 5 in this one. So it's weeknight, CUSA. FIU has been really surprising to me this season. I like them. Mike McIntyre is a good coach, and I think that the Dana DeMel stuff is slowly weeding itself out. I would imagine we're going to see a change there at the end of the season, but who am I to say that, right? They could totally flip this thing around, and we'll see. But I don't buy it. I do buy FIU -2. That's the lock on this one. I'm going to lock that one in. It's not a lock. We've been over this before. But regardless, I'm taking FIU to cover the 2 on this one. We'll move ahead and we're staying in the middle of the week. Oh, man, Thursday night, we head to the Lone Star State. Dana Holgorsen's Houston Cougars are going to host his former employer, the West Virginia Mountaineers. This is a 7 p.m. Eastern Time game on FS1. The Cougars, they are a weeknight home dog. West Virginia is a 2.5-point favorite at BetUS with the total sitting at 51 on this one. Houston, only 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 games as a home dog, while West Virginia is 1-3 against the spread as a road favorite, having only been in this position 4 times since the 2020 season. This is actually the first meeting between these schools, which there's going to be a lot of those today, okay? Kyle, I want to start with you here. There is a drastic difference in Houston's numbers for the entire season and then how they've looked over just the last 3 weeks. It seems like the passing game has finally gotten going, you know, decently well, but they are going up against a great West Virginia passing defense, number 5 in passing explosiveness allowed, number 18 PPA allowed per pass. What's your breakdown on this one?
I mean, I got to give Neil Brown and his staff a lot of credit. West Virginia has been far better than anybody could have expected at this point. I love that the team has the kind of chemistry they do. And, you know, they were picked number 14 in the conference, and they've been kind of talking about 14. We're number 14 all throughout the season, carrying that chip on their shoulder. It has absolutely worked. Fun to see the defense playing so much better. I definitely didn't expect the West Virginia defense to be so good. You know, if you'd have told me West Virginia was going to be 108th in the nation in yards per play so far this year, I would have thought they've been getting beaten up on. Instead, no, their defense has been winning them games. You know, this defense has exceeded all expectations. 13th in the nation in success rate allowed, 17th in havoc created by the defensive front seven. So they're getting in the backfield a lot. Houston's really been very disappointing. You know, Houston moving up a level here into the Big 12. The Cougars' offense hasn't worked too well. The defense has been really bad. This is a Houston team that's 112th in havoc created by the defensive front, so they're not getting in the backfield at all. West Virginia happy to run the football as much as possible. 67% of their plays have been running plays on offense. They're going to try to run it down Houston's throats, and I think it probably works in this game. It would surprise me if it doesn't. I think a game like this, you know, Houston's just going in the wrong direction in general as a program. I can't be too high on them. West Virginia laying 2.5 on the road. That would be my lean. I also kind of like the under here a bit. I think West Virginia will play slowly, control the ball. The clock will keep ticking. So I like West Virginia minus 2.5 or the under.
I think that I tend to lean. I've gone back and forth on this game so much. Parker, I want to bring you in here. I'm seeing a mismatch in this one, right? West Virginia's rushing attack, Houston's defensive front. It doesn't seem like much of a contest here. And not only that, you know, West Virginia has a massive 5-factors advantage here. I know it's the Dana Holgorsen Bowl, right? But tell me what you're seeing numbers-wise on this one.
Yeah, I've got a strong play towards West Virginia here. I've got this by almost 10, and it's based on a couple of things. One, West Virginia is something that they have not been under Neil Brown's tenure. Honestly, they're annoying, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They're 43rd in echo rate allowed, but they're 4th in points per echo allowed. They're 18th in starting field position, and they're 15th in third and fourth down success allowed. That is the team that is not letting you finish at the margin, and that's something that West Virginia has struggled with the last couple of years. I actually think the defense has been a lot better than, like Kyle said, than really anyone could have expected. The offense is right about where I thought it would be. They're 75th in EPA per play. They cannot pass to save their lives. It's almost like to keep the offense going, they just have to throw an incomplete pass every 3 plays, like a sacrifice to the football gods, so they can continue to run the ball consistently, because all they want to do is run 123rd in rush rate over expected, but they're efficient at it. 51st in rushing success rate, 35th in EPA per rush. So moving the ball pretty well, especially if they stay ahead of the early downs. That's kind of the one weakness here, is those third downs are not going well for West Virginia. They're 116th in third and fourth down success, but Houston is 97th. So this defense for Houston had that good year like 2 years ago and has just not come back. I think West Virginia, if we're talking about them in this game, outclasses Houston. Houston really doesn't feel like they've just got a lot in the tank here, losing a couple close games and then just blowing up after being competitive against Texas Tech there in 3 of the last 4. But I look at this West Virginia last 5 and I say, you know, they're again, winning on the margins, 24-21 against TCU, 20-13 against Tech, 17-6 against Pitt. That's something they hadn't done, but it's not like they're dominating good opponents. I think all 3 of those opponents, we would say, yet they are not as good as last year. They're not as good as we thought they were. And so West Virginia is certainly taking advantage of some advantageous scheduling, but they do have an easy schedule this year. Houston going to get more and more disinterested as the season goes. I'm going to lean with Neil Brown to play that kind of consistent, annoying football that they have all year and let Houston beat themselves. Give me the Mountaineers -2.5.
I like it. I like it. I can't disagree here. I want to, how about this? I'm not a fan of either school by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to see something entertaining out of Houston. Dana Holgorsen, I expected to be really entertaining, and this season we certainly have not gotten it in the Big 12. So we'll see, but I think I agree with Parker here. Parker's going to lock it up. West Virginia -2.5 on that one. We move into game number 3, and gentlemen, we're moving to the noon slate on Saturday. And we're going to stay, we're going to move to the SEC on this one. This one's on CBS at noon Eastern time. The Georgia Bulldogs, they found an identity in week 6. They humiliated Kentucky. They head to Nashville. They're going to battle the Vanderbilt Commodores, losers of 5 straight games this season. Georgia, a 31.5 point road favorite at BetUS. The total sitting at 57 on this. 31.5 point favorite with a total of 57 on that. I mean, that's crazy. Georgia has won and covered 5 straight against the Doors, and the combined score in the last 3 meetings is 147-6. They have held Vandy scoreless the last 2 seasons. They won 55-0 and 62-0. And on top of that, Georgia fans just eat up all the tickets in Nashville. So this is just a de facto home game for the Red and Black, right? The Dogs are 13-5 against the spread in their last 18 as a road favorite. Only 1-3 against the spread in their last 4. And Vandy, 4-14 against the spread in their last 18 as a home dog. Parker, I have got a suspicion, after how things went for Clark Lee's bunch in Gainesville last week, that Vanderbilt could just be ready to, you know, get to the bye week. They played in week 0. They are now playing in their 8th straight game. You'd be hard-pressed to find 2 teams that are further apart in PPA margin. Georgia is number 5, Vandy number 129. Tell me what your numbers say here.
Yeah, man, I was just this morning looking at Vanderbilt's schedule, and obviously they play in the SEC, it's no different, but I just can't get over, they were fun last year, and they're just decisively unfun this year. They're going to play Georgia, they're going to have a bye week, and then they go at Ole Miss, host Auburn, at South Carolina, at Tennessee. They're not going to win another game. That stinks. That just stinks. It's just, it's hard. It's hard to build a program, hard to ride the development wave and keep that consistent. And hopefully they can take steps, continue to take steps in the right direction there. But yeah, really, really tough kind of back into the schedule here. And they just haven't looked competitive. I know they've had a couple of injuries, but you know, bright spots, Will Shepard's a dude. And maybe he'll get, you know, 1 or 2 catches here and you can kind of see him against some elite competition. Cause I think we'll see some of him at the next level in some, form or fashion here, but not a lot you can really, really say, about, Vanderbilt. One thing I will point out that I just think is fun. There's one red box on my previews for Georgia, and that is, their points per echo on defense, the points per quality possession. They're 6th at echo rate, but they're 91st in points per echo. What does that mean? That means that the only way you're scoring against Georgia is they fall down and you get a big play touchdown. You're not crossing the 40 and scoring a touchdown. You're not putting out these long methodical drives. Vanderbilt has been, you know, showing some of that pop. That's what bad offenses do. The only way they score is big play randomness. They're 42nd in points per echo. I really don't expect that to be decisive in this game by any stretch of the imagination. I have this at Georgia 47, Vanderbilt 7. So Georgia by 40 and the under seems absolutely absurd. I hate betting big spreads like this because like so much chalks up to variance there. But this is one of the starkest examples. I think we've got 2 games this week where it's just these teams aren't playing the same game. They're not. And that's where we're at. So certainly can understand going with Georgia here, especially as they kind of shift into murder ball mode for the rest of the season.
That's well, and they've got a bye week next week. Right, Kyle, if Georgia wanted to run it, Vandy's defense might be okay. I mean, that's Vanderbilt's strength so far. Their issue is, I mean, Georgia is passing more than they're running, and they're really good at it. They're number 16 in PPA per pass, number 4 in passing success rate. Vanderbilt is number 123 PPA allowed per pass, number 116 pass success allowed. Kyle, is there any spot where Vandy might be able to find a weakness in this Dogs team aside from, you know, what Parker was talking about? Like maybe they pop one big play here? Do you see anything that would lean you towards Vanderbilt on this one?
I mean, I think we've talked about Georgia, and I've been saying, will they flip the switch at some point? Well, we saw that flip get switched in a big way last week. I mean, 608 yards to 183 against a Kentucky team that's been pretty good. Beck played really well in that game last week, and I think some people had some questions about him. He's solid at quarterback there, no issues. Vanderbilt is 0-7 against the spread this season, guys. It's hard to be 0-7 because the odds makers are really good at making adjustments. They've just had a hard time catching up to how bad Vanderbilt is compared to preseason expectations. This was a team that, I know there are a lot of season win total tickets on the over for Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt's not going to get there. They're 0-7 against the spread so far this year, and 7-0 to the over. You know that's a bad sign. You know, you're 0-7 against the spread, and you're 7-0 to the over. Somebody's scoring a lot of points on you. It surprised me that Vanderbilt's been so much worse. It kind of looked like Clark Lee's team was moving in the right direction. And this one, I really think the question mark is, how many does Georgia want to win by? This is why I have a hard time laying this number of points. But the bye week next week makes this a better spot here for Georgia. They don't have to worry about playing some huge game next week. And like Gary said, Vanderbilt's in a really bad spot. You know, it wouldn't be shocking if they lose this game by 50 points. I'm going to pass on the game, but I understand where Gary's going here.
Oh, yes. Georgia has found themselves in the last five quarters. You know, last week against the Kentucky team that just housed this Vanderbilt team a few weeks ago, they found a massive advantage through the air. On top of the recent success, of course, Georgia has absolutely dominated the Commodores in recent years. I brought up the last two seasons, 62-0, 55-0. The situation plays right into a massive Georgia win before they take a bye week to prep for Florida. So I'll make this one easy. I'm going to lay them with the Dogs in Nashville. 31.5. I don't think that's enough points. That's not enough points here. So give me Georgia to handle this thing on up. I mean, this thing could legitimately be 35-0 at the end of the first quarter because it just was 2 years ago. Like, same situation. Georgia was up 35-0 in the first quarter and, you know, it rolled out to a 62-0 win. Just ridiculous. Quick reminder, hit that like button for us. It looks like this right here. Hit the like button. I see we're almost to 100 likes. Make sure that you are subscribed, of course, and leave a comment. We want to know your picks on the games, all that good stuff. As you see on the screen, of course, the NBA prediction show starts on October 24th. Make sure that you check out the NBA channel. And for those that are watching live, get your questions in for Q&A. Toss in your guess for who has the golden ticket so you can be entered to win the truck. That's the massive thing here. Get the truck. Get the truck. All right, don't forget about the podcast, of course. Search for the BetUS Football Show in your favorite podcast app, whatever that might be. And check out the BetUS NFL Show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Carrying on, we're moving to game number four here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let's talk about two teams that are desperate for a little momentum, and they both got offenses that are capable of providing that. The North Texas Mean Green, they welcome Stan Drayton's Temple Owls down to Denton, Texas. This is a noon Eastern Time kick Saturday on ESPNU, and this one is the first ever meeting between these schools. North Texas, a 7-point home favorite, and the BetUS total, I mean, it is way up there. 70.5 points here. Temple 2-9 against the spread in their last 11 on the road. North Texas, they are only 2-3 against the spread as a home favorite since the start of last season. Temple has hit three straight overs. And North Texas started the season with four straight overs before last week's meeting with Navy went under. Parker, we've got the number 128 PPA allowed per drive defense in North Texas and the number 117 in Temple. But over the past 4 weeks, I mean, these offenses have come to life. North Texas, number 7 PPA per drive on offense. Temple is number 33. It's amazing how a quarterback changed for the Mean Green and, you know, Temple getting their quarterback, E.J. Warner, healthy. It's amazing what that can do for an offense. What do you think we should expect here?
EJ Warner, son of Kurt Warner, playing like a little gunslinger last week against UTSA, man. 472 yards. Yeah. Five touchdowns on receptions. Yeah.
And lost the game by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, not playing defense over there. 65 dropbacks. I would love to see Temple throw the ball 65 times against this North Texas defense. They're 125th in EPA per pass on the season. I've got Temple covering here. The only reason I didn't take it is I've done some splits, again, consulting with the spirits, looking at kind of how I where my weak spots are as a prognosticator. And G5 Road Dogs are so sexy to me. And I'm always like, yep, I can talk myself into this team covering on the road. And I think that's a blind spot for me. So I held off here. I like Temple in this spot. Think they're going to score a lot. Think it's going to be pretty chaotic, especially with that pass defense for North Texas being just not great. Temple, 12th in rush rate over expectation, 10.4 percentage points under expected in terms of rushing there. So really, really fun. Should be really, really pointsy. We all know that. And the chaos is high. You've got number 111 in field position for Temple, 105 for UNT on offense. And the ball is going to bounce random places. There's just going to be a lot of uncertainty, a lot of chaotic here. So I'm very, very interested in just how many points they can put up. I've got this at about 64 as a total. Again, I'm bad at totals, so take that with a grain of salt. But I would lean and maybe even say pizza money towards Temple. Honestly, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more in my YouTube short, which if you haven't watched those, you guys should check those out on YouTube, throwing some pizza money bets over there. I think this is a game that I'm going to dive into for that because I do like Temple a lot here, even if the road dog scares me a little bit.
And that number did come down. I mean, it opened at 8. It's down to 7 now. So there's obviously a little bit of love for that. Kyle, I see a lot of plays in this game. North Texas, number 118 in offensive plays per game. Temple, number 21. And, of course, you got two explosive offenses, number 24 and number 55 on the season. Kyle, give me your breakdown on this one.
North Texas 10th in tempo in the country, and Temple is 13th. So very fast-paced game, a lot of possessions here. Temple's throwing it on 63.2% of their offensive plays, one of the highest in the country, definitely. This makes the new clock rules matter a little bit less in the Temple games than they do in some of the other games. Warner is slinging it around, especially when they're behind. They're the underdog here. So if you think they're going to be in comeback mode, I think that that's a good status for an over here because I think North Texas can bust those big plays, whether it be runs or passes. If you look at North Texas, 4 of their 5 games this year finished with 75 points or more. The 51-point game last week against Navy. We know Temple is nothing like Navy. Navy is a slow-paced team, and there was also some wind and rain in that game. So North Texas had some really high-scoring games, 125th in yards per play allowed. They've given up 32 plays of 20 yards or more. And their offenses faced Cal, FIU, La Tech, Abilene Christian, and Navy. So they haven't exactly faced a lot of great offenses, and they're still giving up massive numbers. The Temple kicker, too, only 9 touchbacks on 28 kickoffs. Four of his kicks have gone out of bounds. So not great. Temple punter averaging 39 yards per punt. North Texas should get good field position here. I don't think they need any help because it's a big play offense against a really weak defense. Pace very high, 2 really weak defenses. I will say this one has gone up 2 points here today. So kind of a bummer on that, but I'm still going to take over 70.5.
I can totally see it. These defenses are rough. So Kyle going to lock up 70.5, the over here. It's gone up a couple of points, like you said, but hey, I think this thing's going to be ridiculously pointy. Hey, you know, we're supposed to have a solar eclipse like in the middle of this game in Texas. So I expect chaos. I expect a ton of points and just mayhem all over the place. Moving on to game number 5 here. Arkansas and Alabama. Oh, man. Early SEC West action. Nick Saban, of course, the Crimson Tide. They welcome Sam Pittman and the Arkansas Razorbacks to Bryant-Denny Stadium. This one's at 12 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. Fresh off a big win in College Station last week, Alabama now a 19.5-point home favorite. The Bet U.S. total, a low 47 currently. Nick Saban, a perfect 16-0 straight up against Arkansas in his time in Tuscaloosa, but you know, he's only 1-3 against the spread in the last 4 that they've played inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. Last year, this was Jalen Milroe's first real game action. You know, Bryce Young went out with an injury in Fayetteville. The Tide recovered to win that one 49-26. Alabama 3-3-1 against the spread in their last 7 as a home favorite. Arkansas 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 as a road dog. And that includes, 2 close games at LSU and Ole Miss already this season. Kyle, I want to start with you here. You know, Alabama defensive back Malachi Moore, it looks like he's going to be sidelined for a bit. Alabama's punter, James Burnup, who was number 4 in the country in yards per punt before last week, he left the A&M game in the first half with what they're calling a lower body injury. You know, throw out the stats. This is a big-time sandwich spot for Alabama. You had A&M on the road last week. You got a revenge spot coming up against Tennessee next week. Kyle, tell me, what's your handicap on this one?
I think Alabama last week against Texas A&M, a couple key takeaways is Jimbo Fisher made some strange decisions in that game, certainly. Now, it didn't get talked about as much because of Mario Cristobal. I think he's probably fortunate about that. But I was really impressed with Alabama's game plan in that one. I don't think this is groundbreaking news, but Alabama has a good coaching staff. They finished with just 23 rushing yards, still won the game. If you had told Gary before the game they were going to finish with 20-some rushing yards last week, I think he would have assumed Alabama was going to lose that game. I think everybody would assume that. But, you know, the fact that they had such a good game plan where Milroe was able to throw those deep balls and have success, they had an ADOT of 13.8. 54.5% of pressures turned into sacks last week for Milroe, and they still won the game. So he was holding the ball a decent amount of time, getting some pretty big negative plays, but they were getting out of it. I think that was pretty impressive. And I think you have to say, too, Alabama's defense is so good. We're in a year where there's not really that many great teams in college football. There are lots of good teams, not many great teams. A really good defense kind of keeps you in to the maximum. And Alabama has a really good defense. It's going to keep them in games, even with the shortcomings on the other side. Arkansas has been super inconsistent this year. Rocket Sanders back last week, just 8 carries for 15 yards. KJ Jefferson has not been nearly as good as he was last year. 90.8 PFF grade last year, 79.0 so far this year. Jefferson had 8 turnover-worthy plays all of last season. He has 10 already this year. So F definitely has less guys on the outside than he's had, and he's missed Rocket Sanders. But Arkansas has slowed their tempo down drastically. I think they don't think that they want to get in shootouts here. Under is my lean. This one has gone down some. Like Gary said, this is definitely a tricky spot here for Bama.
And Parker, we'll move over to you. Arkansas, and all of this stuff plays into exactly what Kyle was talking about with KJ Jefferson and Rocket Sanders, et cetera. Arkansas has been shuffling the offensive line. They've been trying to find something that works. They nearly found a way to pull an upset in Oxford last week, but I mean, they moved a guy from guard to center who had never played the position. So, and I mean, it worked somewhat. Like, this is a Razorbacks team that they have lost 4 straight games, and the body language in Fayetteville has not been great. What's your take on this one? Oh, you're muted. We almost got through it.
Yeah, so it's really hard to see Arkansas be this disappointing on offense, because I think that they were really fun last year and had some opportunities. But just the offensive line has been really the issue for a lot of that. And KJ Jefferson, I mean, some of that with a quarterback and just having the magic has not been able to, you know, kind of recreate the magic there. A lot of times when your offense is based on one guy, that guy is going to regress, and then your offense kind of goes out the window. And we're seeing that a little bit with KJ Jefferson. I mean, his pressure to sack ratio right now is 35.3 on the season. That's 15 percentage points higher than last year. He's just not creating as much under duress. And that's really the difference for what they were doing last year. You look this season, they're 47th on third and fourth down success. So he's able to, you know, create a little bit there, but they're 126 on early downs EPA. The early downs are going so poorly that those lay down situations are just that much more heroic and fewer and far between for them to have those opportunities to convert those third and fourth downs even. So really, really rough for Arkansas's offense here. Yeah, that Alabama A&M game last week was crazy. I was shocked that my number had A&M. Looking at the process, feel okay with it. Honestly, you know, football is won on those kind of marginal plays, and A&M is consistently showing that they can't make those marginal plays, but still don't feel bad about having them favored there. I think that made a lot of sense, and, you know, missed field goal, safety, that kind of nonsense, you know, kills you on the cover there. But I thought Alabama played normally and let an opponent beat them, which is not something that we, you know, is worried, hey, are they going to be able to do that and kind of do that quiet dominance? Don't look now, but I mean, they're in the driver's seat for the SEC championship. or the SEC West at least, and we'll have to beat Georgia, obviously, but everything's still on the table. The sky's the limit for this Alabama team. I have this right at 20, so no strong lean either way for me, although I'm projecting 50 points, so maybe slightly to the over, but we'll see if Arkansas can actually put together scoring drives against this Alabama team.
And we'll have to see if the Alabama team can actually put together scoring drives. I mean, my model already thinks this number is inflated by like 3 to 4 points. Okay. So you're saying you've got it at 20. I'm back closer to, you know, 15 or so. Like, toss in the fact this is a sandwich spot, which I brought up before. A huge game at A&M last week. Next week, revenge spot against Tennessee, which, by the way, we'll go on and put it on the screen. I'm going to take Arkansas plus the 19.5 because I think they can hang around here. Nick Saban has gone on McAfee show every Thursday this season, and every single one of them, you can see right behind him, if you're looking at the screen to the left, you will see a binder that has Tennessee's logo on it. Every single one of them this year, it's been right there on his desk. So you're telling me they're not looking for that Tennessee game? I mean, I think the whole team is looking at that ball game. So Arkansas, who has lost four straight, I think they're going to be able to hang around here. Toss that in with the fact that I don't trust this Alabama offense to be able to score enough points to beat anybody by 19.5 points. So, other than Middle Tennessee, which they did in the first game of the season. But regardless, give me the points with the Hogs here. Arkansas plus 19.5 is my play on that one. All right, gentlemen, we got new members. Let's see. Nick Peterson and Kevin the Singing Car Guy. They have signed up for the super fan thing. We appreciate you guys. We shall see what exactly this does, what it means, what the emojis look like. Who knows? I guess we'll figure it out. Moving on, game number six. We got a few more games that we got to hit. I got to pick up the pace. Yes, the Iowa State Cyclones, off a surprising whipping of TCU, they head over to new Big 12 conference opponent, the Cincinnati Bearcats, at 12 p.m. Eastern time on FSU. They get their first taste of Nippert Stadium. Cincy, currently a 5-point favorite at BetUS. The total sits at 45.5 on this one. It's another first-ever meeting between schools. I think that's the third one today. Iowa State, 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 as a road dog. Cincinnati is 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 as a home favorite. Kyle, I want to start with you here. I mean, on the season, Cincinnati's numbers have looked great. Number 41 PPA per drive on offense. They're number 22 in defensive success rate allowed. And, you know, while Iowa State's offense has been, I think the word could be abysmal, they've been really good on the defensive side. They're number 27 PPA allowed per drive. What should we expect between these two teams here?
I think this is a fun handicap because Iowa State's coming off an emotional big win. Cyclones have definitely improved in recent weeks. They went against Oklahoma State. They were kind of competitive for a while against Oklahoma, then a nice win against TCU. A couple nice angles here for this game. I've talked about one of these at least before. Road underdog of 3 points to 14 points with a total of 48 or lower. That road dog is 6-18 and 4-88. That's 56% since 2005. So Iowa State fits this one. Small road underdog with a low total. And Matt Campbell as an underdog of 3 points or more is 30-17 against the spread, 64%. So he's been good in this role. Some wind and some rain in this game, maybe not extreme, but this total has gone down because of that, definitely. We've seen a lot of totals go down across the board. Also, dogs in the wind. It sounds funny. Underdogs in the wind have done well, too. It makes sense. If you're going to have a lower scoring game, you take an underdog in a game that should be closer. That's been a good angle, too. So several things helping out Iowa State in a game like this. Cincinnati has been really bad on special teams, a team where Iowa State actually might have an edge in special teams, which is pretty rare. Cincinnati's defensive line is strong, but I don't trust the Cincinnati offense to finish drives, especially against this Iowa State defense. Under would be my lean here. And if you're giving me 5 points, I have to lean Iowa State, too.
And Parker, we'll move over to you here. Iowa State has gotten way more volatile over the last few weeks, while Cincinnati has gotten worse, especially allowing explosive plays. The Bearcats over the last 4 weeks are number 127 in net explosiveness, while Iowa State is number 48 in that time span. That includes number 26 on offense for Iowa State. So, look, Rocco Becht has figured out something, right? Tell me what your numbers are telling you here.
Yeah, I'm going to go even stronger than I lean towards Iowa State. I'm going to take the Cyclones as a road dog here. I think that they're improving week over week and really settling, which was something to be expected when, you know, they got the news that they weren't going to have their quarterback at the beginning of the season and played, you know, Iowa and looked kind of bad, but have normalized and are really playing well in kind of that play enough defense that you can make your opponents beat themselves and then take advantage of it on offense. The offense getting a little bit better, 63rd in EPA per pass. And their finishing drives is really, really rough on the season, 2.86 points per quality possession, but that's 112th, but that's all season. It's been a little bit better in later games as well. And they have a huge field position advantage against Cincinnati on the defensive side of the ball. So I expect this disciplined Iowa State defense to play consistently against Cincinnati here and have the Bearcats kind of on their heels. I think this Bearcats team got a lot of credit for beating a bad Eastern Kentucky team and then sneaking by Pitt, who we've realized is not very, very good. So I'm fading Cincinnati here and trusting Iowa State to put together a couple consistent games. I think that they should cover on the road easy. I've got this at 2 points, so I'll go with the Cyclones here.
I could see it. Hey, Parker. Going to take Iowa State +5 on this one on the road in Nippert Stadium. Arbo, new member. So we got some, these emojis are fantastic. The ones of Kyle, I about lost it just right in the middle of y'all talking. So he's got under right under his face there. I love that. So we probably should have made sure that we had the right. No, we got a good hat. We got a yellow hat in there. That works. This is absurd. Absolutely absurd. Okay, before the last two games, make sure and get your guesses in the chat for which one of us has got the golden ticket today. And of course, make sure to like the video and subscribe to the channel. I see quite a few of you have liked. We need a few more. Get us up to 150 while we're watching live. For those that are watching live, of course, drop your questions in the chat. If you're not watching live, toss your picks and thoughts in the comments, and we'll respond to as many as possible, of course. All right, game number 7. We got two more games we got to hit on. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, these emojis are fantastic. All right, Navy in Charlotte. Okay, 2 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN+. It's two teams with first-year head coaches. Brian Newberry, of course, and the Navy midshipmen. They head to Banktown, USA. They're going to take on one of the newest AAC members, the Charlotte 49ers, led by, of course, Biff Poggi. And Navy, right now, a 3-point favorite with the BetUS total currently at 43.5, and that total has dropped. Of course, this is yet another first-ever meeting between schools. Navy has not been a road favorite since 2021, but they are 3-1 against the spread in their last four in this role, and they have covered 7 straight road games dating back to 2021. Charlotte, on the other hand, 1-8 against the spread in their last 9 games at home. That is not good. Parker, as bad as Charlotte has been, it looks like all those, you know, Big Ten defensive linemen that Biff pulled out of the portal, they're really starting to pay off. In the last 4 weeks, Charlotte's defense is number 30 in stuff rate, number 58 PPA per rush. Now, Charlotte's offense, that's a whole nother story. Tell me what you're looking for here.
Yeah, well, with these teams like Charlotte, I mean, all you can hope for is they get better over the course of the season. Like, what kind of hole are they getting pulled out of early on? So to see those guys kind of gel, especially on the line, is good, and I think that's where you build a solid foundation. I have Charlotte 101st in offense, 101st in defense. Really don't stand out at very much overall. A little bit better at preventing finishing drives than they are allowing those quality drives, 32nd in points per echo. But again, there's going to be some selection issues there. I think one thing that stands out here is that Navy is much better on early downs than they are on late downs. That seems backwards for a team like Navy, a service academy. You want to see that the other way around. And Charlotte has been pretty bad on defense generally, but 91st in early downs EPA there. So if Navy can kind of avoid those third and fourth down situations, I'd be kind of interested to see what they can string together here. But I think that the disparity in efficiency and the Navy defense this disparity in efficiency because of the Navy defense is not that large. I've got this within 3 points and really don't have a strong lean either way, just because this Navy team on defense has not been able to play consistently, you know, 129th in EPA per pass, 129th in EPA per rush. So I don't know what to expect out of them. And Charlotte is getting a little better. So no play on me on this one. I'm completely agnostic here.
Kyle, these are two teams that, I mean, they like to go slow, right? Charlotte, number 109 in offensive plays per game. Navy's number 104. Neither is great at scoring. Charlotte, number 118 points per drive. Navy is number 109. Kyle, tell me what you see between these two.
Well, I think Charlotte's biggest strength as a team is their defensive line. And that's a good thing to have as your biggest strength if you're going to play against Navy. And I know that people say, well, Navy's not playing the same option, running the same triple option they have. They're still running a form of the option. They're running 79% of the time. So it's not like Navy's airing it out a lot. This is still a very run-heavy team that's 123rd out of 133 teams in tempo this year. With all those running plays and the new clock rules, possessions are going to be few and far between in a game like this. Charlotte's running the ball on 58% of their plays, 115th in tempo. Guys, I think Charlotte wants to run it more than 58% of the time. They've just been behind in a lot of these games, so they have to pass. I think, if this kind of stays in a neutral game state close, which is what the spread would suggest, I think both teams run the ball a ton in this game. This is one of those games where it probably gets completed in 3 hours or less. It's going to be a really snappy game. I don't see many big plays here. Conservative play calling from both teams. The defensive line's holding up well. I'm going to take the under here in this one, expecting like a 20-17, 21-17 type game. Hate that this one did move a little bit here before the show from 45 down to 43.5, but I think this one stays in the 30s.
I was going to lock that one up. Kyle taking the under 43.5 here. As Nick just said in here, I can see that. We need an emoji that says I can see that because I totally can. All right, last game of the day. Let's move ahead. Don't forget to like the video. Don't forget to toss your questions in the chat and get your guesses in to get an entry to win the truck. All right, College game day heads to the Pacific Northwest this Saturday. The Oregon Ducks are going to make their way up to Seattle. They're going to take on the upstart Washington Huskies at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time on ABC. Both teams coming off a bye. Washington is favored by 3, minus 105 at BetUS with a total of 67 on this one. Now, the Huskies won in Autzen Stadium last year, 37-34. That was after Bo Nix went out late with an injury. There was some crazy shenanigans at the end of that game, but Washington found a way to get it done. Before that, Oregon had won and covered 3 straight in this series. Washington, under Kalen DeBoer, 10-0 straight up, 7-3 against the spread at home, while Oregon is 5-1 against the spread and straight up in their last 6 road games under Dan Lanning. Kyle, starting with you here, this is a fairly intense rivalry. We've got 2 fantastic offenses, led by veteran transfer quarterbacks in their second year at these schools, and you've got 2 surprisingly good defenses. Oregon, number 5 PPA allowed per drive. Washington is number 32, and I think that's the more surprising thing because that defense was putrid last year. Kyle, what do you think we're going to see in Seattle on Saturday?
First, I guess I'm supposed to take the under. It looks like the emoji is me with Oregon hat on with the under, so I'm supposed to take the under. I can't take the under in this game. I will say 80% chance of rain for this one, and I'm looking at the weather forecast and it says poor conditions for viewing the eclipse here, so sorry if that's what your goal was there in Seattle. I don't think that's terribly shocking that you're going to have poor conditions there in Seattle, but 62 degrees, pretty rainy for this game. I will say rain by itself doesn't really affect totals near as much as some people think. It's mainly the wind, so keep an eye on the wind forecast, which only says 8 miles per hour at this point. I am really torn on this game because I don't want to bet against Kalen DeBoer and Michael Penix. I think that's a fantastic combination. It's kind of almost unfair to have those two guys together. I know I sound like a broken record, but they're a lot of fun. They're first in the country, 8.7 yards per play on offense. Oregon's been really good, but 3 of their games so far have come against Portland State, Hawaii, and Stanford. So if you just look at raw numbers, I think I'd be careful. Having said that, Oregon's easily the best defense Washington's played, no doubt about that. Last year, this game had over 1,100 total yards in it. So, just complete offensive show in that one. Michael Penix threw for 408 yards. I think Oregon's defense is better than last year, especially their secondary. But Washington's still going to put up plenty of points and yards in a game like this. I think Washington's secondary is still their weakness. Now, they've actually been ran on by a decent amount of people so far this year, but the secondary has good numbers so far this year, but they really have not played good passing attacks. So I think the jury's kind of still out on that secondary. Their secondary is better than a year ago. Well, let's see how much better it really is. Washington, one thing that concerns me a lot, 94.2 penalty yards per game. That's easily worst in the country. Something that Gary talks about a lot, that can really matter. It's really a chink in the armor. It's going to cost him a game at some point, I think. Oregon, 64 per game, not really good, but 30 yards per game difference is pretty significant. Oregon's 5-0 against the spread so far this year, average ATS margin of plus 12. I don't want to go against Washington at home with DeBoer and Penix, but I don't think it's any great value taking Washington in this one either. I would have wanted to take the over. The weather being questionable makes me kind of wonder. And, I mean, the emoji has me with an under with an Oregon hat on. So some kind of vibes there. But I'm going to pass on this game. Mostly just super excited to watch this game.
Oh, yes. I think it's going to be fantastic. Parker, Kyle just mentioned both of these teams have played weak schedules so far. But to be fair, they have both dominated the competition. We can look at just all kinds of stats, and most would favor Oregon right now, but Washington at home is just a different level. When I expect a game to be tight, I always want to look at special teams grade. We've got Washington at number 8 at PFF in special teams grade, Oregon at number 59. Parker, tell me what we should expect here.
I am on Oregon in this game. I think there's some cracks in the foundation with Washington that make me a little bit nervous about them being a home favorite here. Specifically the defense, 19th in defensive EPA per play. And as Kyle mentioned, they've been run on a little bit. They're 60th in EPA per play or EPA per rush, and they're 101st in defensive success rate allowed there for the run game. So I think what that does is not necessarily give Oregon an opportunity to run a ton. They are 7th in rush rate over expected, obviously very, very pass heavy, but it does provide the credible threat of rushing for Oregon, which is going to free up your play action, which is going to make it so that Oregon can put a lot more defenders in conflict and score here. So this is team 1 and 2 for me in terms of EPA per play margin. I mean, very, very good on both sides, but this Oregon offense is better than this Washington defense, 4th to 19th, than the other way around, than Washington's offense is. So I actually have this Oregon by a couple points outright here. I know on the road, This basically just has Washington as home field advantage, right? This minus three or wherever it's at now. But I like Oregon here. I think with a couple points gives them a long leash, and I have them favored outright. I think this offense translates, and Washington's pass defense and defense generally hasn't looked amazing against some teams that I would wanted them to look amazing against. So this game gets points. If this game gets out of hand, I think Oregon has the firepower to stick with Washington. And we'll see how Washington gets tested being, in a game all four quarters here. I wouldn't put too much faith in the Arizona game last year. I think that this is a trend I'm kind of circling and want to play around with the numbers a little bit this offseason. We're seeing more and more teams that are heavy favorites kind of play like zombies the week four big matchup. I think we're seeing kind of an exacerbated look ahead effect this season in college football. And that Arizona game, I think, is one that I would ascribe to that. But still, I want to see more out of Washington's defense here. I think Oregon takes advantage. They want a little revenge for last year. I'm going to go with this one being close. I'm going to take the Ducks and the points.
Okay. Let's toss the emoji up here whenever we make it. I could see that, right? My numbers love Oregon. Absolutely. I've got them favored by 6.5 here, just at power numbers and raw stats. I don't know if I can trust Rodebeau. And yes, that is still a thing, even at Oregon, okay? 26 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in Eugene, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the road. This is a revenge spot for the Ducks, but, I mean, Washington having game day in town, and, as well as they have played in Seattle, I mean, this one's a stay away for me. But, hey, I'm going to hope that Oregon covers this 3 for Parker. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull for Parker on this one. And I might even toss a little peach money on that thing because I might just want to have something to root for in that 2:30 window. That's what I'm looking for. All right. Let me go on and tell everybody. Let's see. Jack Hammond signed up. We appreciate you. Arbo, of course, jumped in. We appreciate him. And what other new member? Mark Holmes. There we go. You guys are rocking and rolling with this stuff already. These emojis are fantastic. Last time today, if you've not already, like the video, subscribe to the channel. As you know, of course, one of us is holding a golden ticket for an entry to the Tough Truck Contest. So let's go ahead and reveal who we've got it, or who has it on this go-round. I wouldn't imagine it's me, but I mean, I always pull for myself. So we shall see. Ah, it is Parker this time.
Only because I said it was rigged last time. This was just consolation. The process is still unfair. We're still going to fight for justice in the distribution of the golden ticket.
I love it. production is going to randomly select one name from the chat that guessed correctly. We'll announce the winner after the best bet segment. Okay. But first, of course, before we get into today's best bets, and our favorite show, our favorite part of every live show is the Q&A. So it's time to jump into that. That is one perk. If you sign up for the Superfan thing, your questions are going to go right to the top. So Nick Peterson, of course, signed up first, new member. He said, I think you boys are 100% on games involving Louisiana Tech and or Middle Tennessee State. He said, what a stat. Can we please get a lean for tonight? I will go ahead and tell you that my numbers really like Louisiana Tech at Middle Tennessee tonight. And what was the other? Oh, Middle Tennessee. Oh, I guess that was the only game that he was interested in. I kind of like Jack State at home against Liberty tonight, too.
I have them outright. I don't know.
I'm not quite there outright, but I'm, hold on, my power number. Yeah, I mean, I've almost got this thing a pick'em. So that one, yes, I've got Louisiana Tech outright as a road dog. So I've got them favored by 3.83 on the road at Middle Tennessee. Not a play that something just feels weird. Like this seems like a situational spot where Middle Tennessee could. Kyle, help me out with this. Middle Tennessee has just been beaten to death, it feels like. Over and over, every single week. This feels like the kind of spot where they can get right, because every team that has beaten them, I think, has had more talent, and I don't know that Louisiana Tech does. Do you agree with that, Kyle?
I mean, my numbers like Louisiana Tech, like you guys, I think it the same way. I haven't been betting Middle Tennessee in La Tech games. This has been out parking here winning those, so their opinion probably matters more. I'll say, you know, I think La Tech doesn't look nearly as talented as what we expected them to look in the preseason. But Middle Tennessee State, I mean, what an epic collapse last week. I think if something goes wrong again, you know, it could all spiral and fall apart again. So I wouldn't be interested in betting Middle Tennessee State. I do think the other game, Liberty up to 7-point favorite a lot of places, and the total's been bet up 3 points here today. So I would have liked the over in Liberty and Jacksonville State, but that one's getting hammered pretty heavily.
Parker, what's your number on Louisiana Tech?
On Louisiana Tech, I have I thought you were going to Kyle and you weren't going to come to me. Here we go. I have Louisiana Tech by 5. Holy cow. So I've got Louisiana Tech outright. The big difference there is Louisiana Tech's defense has been much better consistently this season, opponent adjusted, than MTSU's offense has. And I really just struggle to see what MTSU does well, frankly. Who was it? 83? I should know his name, and I apologize that I don't, because it's off the top of my head. 83 was kind of dirty in the first half last week. They were going to him, and even in the second half, he was making some plays. So watch how Louisiana Tech kind of matches up on him. But I don't feel optimistic about MTSU. You putting together a complete team. Obviously, last week with Jacksonville State, like, you're not going to expect a total second half collapse, but you are going to expect, you know, some depth issues there.
Mark Holmes jumped in with a question. He wants to know from Kyle, Ohio State versus Purdue. What have we got on this one? Hey, it's Kyle. I know you as a Buckeye fan are not excited about the fact that there could be spooky stuff going on with the moon when Ohio State has to go to West Lafayette to take on the spoiler makers the week before Penn State. So tell me what you're thinking with Ohio State and Purdue this Saturday.
I remember going to the game the last time Ohio State played at Purdue. We're not going to speak of that one anymore, but that was definitely an upset there for Purdue. Ohio State, I still think, is not as good as most people have them power rated. I hope I'm wrong. I'm a Buckeyes fan. In the first half last week against Maryland, Ohio State was really playing poorly. Pick six kind of ignited them, and then the second half they played better. Maryland made several mistakes. That was a Maryland should have covered in that game, certainly. This one looks like another weather game. West Lafayette with some winds, at least, you know, 18, 20 miles per hour winds for this one. So my favorite bet here would be the under, if you can get over the key number of 49. I don't think Ohio State's offense is nearly as dynamic as it has been. And the Buckeyes defense is not giving up those big plays. So under is what I would like there.
I could, I could see that. Where's my emoji? I need my emoji. Hey, Parker, we've got one from Jack Hammond, new member here. He said, guys, I think we need to stop overvaluing Fresno and realize that Wyoming is exceeding expectations. He said, I say this because Fresno keeps losing me money. You and I were texting back and forth during this Fresno-Wyoming game on Saturday night. Are we overvaluing Fresno, or was that just a Andrew Peasley played out of his mind for 1 second quarter, and that was about it? Now, don't get me wrong, Fresno did not play well, but is it overvaluing Fresno? Obviously it is. We bet on them, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on this Fresno team right now?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we want to separate the question of Mikey Keene's injury status aside. I know the ankle is kind of messing with him, so I don't know how much that kind of manifests in the game. And there is some variance. There is some times in these games at these lower levels where a coach sees something that the other team hasn't really scouted themselves for, and they're able to exploit it. I don't know if that's the case. I haven't, grinded the film and everything for that second quarter in Wyoming there. Sometimes it does just come down to like Craig Bowl at home. It's going to be Craig Bowl at home. And I think that after this game, I was talking about Fresno as the clear number two in the Mountain West. And I think I'm no longer talking about them as the clear number two. I'm not, I try not to overreact to one game, and pending Keene's health here, this weekend just showed me, I think Air Force is just the team to beat. So I don't know if it's overvaluing Fresno so much as seeing a path that I really like and then seeing, hey, maybe they can get God. So disappointing. Wanted to win that one this weekend. But I think that, this weekend really didn't take the Mountain West Championship off the table for Fresno for me. They need some help, but it did take New Year's Six Fresno off the table for me, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, they lost, so obviously. I just meant in terms of quality. Right. Yeah.
No, I feel you there. Mikey Lobetz jumped in. We did already talk about this, but I just had to read this question off. He said, Liberty at Jack State. I have second half Jacksonville State as a 2.5-point favorite on a neutral versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, the way that they've been playing in these second halves has been absolutely insane. But look, you put Rich Rodriguez in Conference USA, and you're tossing a shark into a kiddie pool. I mean, that's the guy's an incredible strategist, we'll call it. A schemist, if you will. Like, he's... Parker, I see your face.
What's
here.
What's so interesting there is that they're playing so poorly in the first half, specifically right on defense. Twice now in a row, someone's been able to be like, hey, I'm going to pick on that guy in the defense. And they've adjusted in the second half. So I think that's a really, really impressive coaching job, because clearly they're not at a talent advantage. To say in the least, and they've been able to paper over that and come back. And yeah, you just love these Rich Rod teams, man. We're like, they just get the littlest inkling of a head of steam and you're gone. Like, it's just done. You just can't stop them. So really, really fun. But yeah, I think it's more about how bad they are in the first half is more impressive that they're so good in the second half, because they're papering over like obvious matchup inequalities.
Well, and of course with the offense, and Kyle, I mean, you've seen this every time they've played out the second half, what Mikey Lowe was talking about. Those second halves, they will pick on somebody. If they find a matchup that they like, Rich Rod is one of those coaches that is not afraid to just run the same play over and over and over again until somebody stops it. And it's those old school guys that do that. They don't feel like they have to reach into the bag of tricks. They just find one trick that works and, hey, either you stop it or we're just going to beat you to a pulp with it. And that's what they've done the past couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, they have.
Alexander Dawes jumped in. Kyle, I have not even thought about App State and Coastal. Have you thought about that for tonight?
Oh, that is not one that I considered betting personally. My numbers have App State by 6.5. So I guess I lean App State. I just want to fade Coastal because I don't trust the coaching staff, but nothing I love.
I got a direct message the other day from somebody that I guess either goes to school at Coastal or knows somebody that plays for Coastal, or I don't know exactly what the relation is, but apparently things are not going well for Tim Beck over there, because he was just livid with what the coaching staff has done with his team. So we'll, I mean, I don't know what that's going to mean. My number is a little tighter than that 6.5 that you've got for App State. I'm not saying that they can't get it turned around. I just know that there are some people that are just absolutely furious that he came in and changed up everything that, that they're doing. So who knows? Who knows? Drake Gonzalez. Hey, Parker, you got to fill in App State Coastal.
No, I was locking my mouth to say I had no comment on the situation. Fading Coastal doesn't seem like a bad strategy. I've got it like 4.5, but on the road, App State's fine. I would fade Coastal.
Yeah, I could understand this. I could understand it. Drake Gonzalez, Kyle, do you think the quarterback is going to be ready with Duke this weekend? I will tell you, I don't think so. High ankle sprains are really difficult. I don't think so. But Kyle, do you have a feel on this one?
Don't know anything, but I've seen the line move, and usually the market knows what's going on. So I would guess that he will not play in this game.
Yeah, that's the thing is, how could you possibly take Duke without knowing, right? Like, I just, I can't bet that.
Because I don't want to bet Dave Doran on the road ever.
That's true. I don't know. I mean, MJ Moore has kind of got that offense rolling last week. Like, Kyle, what happened to Marshall's defense? Like, we just, putrid. Matthew Farmer jumped in. Any thoughts on Florida and South Carolina? I want to get both of y'all's thoughts on this one. Kyle, I want to start with you. The Gators in South Carolina, my numbers love Florida here, but it is Cocktober. So, like, there's no way I'm going to bet against South Carolina right now. Kyle, what are your thoughts on this one?
I don't trust Florida on the road. Not a numbers play for me. This is a just kind of a my gut feel for this game, as I would bet South Carolina if I had to bet this game. South Carolina with the big special teams advantage. I don't trust Florida on the road. They pull some of those upsets at home, but their road numbers have been pretty drastically different the last couple of years. So it would have to be South Carolina if I bet this one.
Parker, what about you? My number on this is Florida favored by 9. I mean, it's just the dumbest number I've ever seen. And yet, I mean, I've seen crazier things, I guess, but give me your numbers on it.
I've got it by 6. I'm going to, I was Googling whether the FCC could put me in jail for you saying that on air just a minute ago, but I think we're okay. I have Florida by 6. And I think the biggest thing here is, like, Spencer Rattler's been better. He's been better. They're 43rd in passing success rate. They're 29th in EPA per pass. They can't run the ball. South Carolina is trying to be Iowa in the sense that they're uninterested in moving the ball consistently down the field and the down-to-down business of moving the football. That's what really worries me about ever trusting South Carolina. I think they're favored just mostly because of vibes and because of the home team, and that matters sometimes to these rivalries in the SEC, but Florida has been the much more consistent team on both sides of the ball, and especially the South Carolina defense really gives up a ton of success, and that's what Florida's actually been living a little bit more on is just getting some breathing room. 26th in success rate on offense, 18th in the pass, 40th in the rush. And South Carolina is 128th in defensive success rate. So I really think there's a lot of opportunity for Florida to just come out and say, you know what, you're going to play crazy. You're going to try to do some extracurriculars. You're going to try to get us off our game. We're just going to play even keel. You can't get to us, and they could win this pretty dominantly. So I would lean towards Florida, but I really don't want to bet them on the road in a rivalry game like this.
And same here. I do not want to touch it. That's why I did not give it out, because that number just looks screwy. But, you know, I trust my numbers for the most part. I did have a question from either Richard Chandler or Arbone that jumped in, who asked about the 5 factors again. And I did this a couple weeks ago, but the 5 factors, whenever I talk about those, it is explosiveness, it is efficiency, so like success rate, explosiveness, something like yards per play, points per play, whatever. Field position, right, that's always big. Finishing drives, so points per scoring opportunity. Anytime you get a first down inside the opponent's 40-yard line, do you finish the drive? How many points do you get? All that kind of stuff. And turnovers, whether that be havoc rate or havoc allowed, like some combination of the two, a margin. But turnover margin, turnover look, you know, whatever it may be with turnovers. Those are the 5 factors. So if you would like to check it out, I think Football Study Hall still has the old article up. But that was Bill Connelly's thing from way back when, and it's still proven to be pretty good. pretty good. Last question on the day. Lewis jumped in. Saracino, any picks or information on Ohio versus Northern Illinois? He said, I like Curtis Rourke and the Bobcats. Kyle, we haven't talked much about Ohio, and we've kind of tried to stay out of the muck with Northern Illinois because I, for three straight years, I've gotten myself in trouble with that that fan base. But Northern Illinois kind of, I mean, they just splattered Akron last week. I forget the kid's name that had 13 carries for 280 yards last week against Akron. I don't know that he's going to have that against Ohio this week. What are you reading on this one, Kyle?
Yeah, Antonio Brown, 13 carries for 280 yards. 21.5 yards per carry is insane. I was looking through the box scores there Saturday night late, and that one stood out in a big way. I will say first, as far as information about this game, this total has crashed down for good reason. 20 miles per hour sustained winds and gusts of 30 miles per hour expected for this game. So if that stays, that's pretty significant. Both teams are going to run the ball quite a bit in that kind of conditions. I would still lean to the under. I trust Ohio more. I think Ohio's defense has been so much better this year than expected. He's still got Curtis Rourke there. I mean, it could be a fun game. Lombardi versus Rourke is a pretty quality game.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Parker, what about you? I've got Ohio by 8.08. So, and I do like the under. I've got the under by like 3 points. What do you see on this one, Parker?
I mean, I like Ohio, and I think that NIU is a little bit of variance there just because they played an Akron team who, you know, lost some injury and it just frankly isn't very good. I have Ohio, holy cow, by double digits. That's crazy to me. Because I'm just looking at like offensive defense and like NIU's been you know, fine, consistent, kind of struggling on offense. But Ohio's, I have them heavily favored. I don't, I get killed on these MAC games, so I'm not going to pretend to have wisdom there, but I agree with Ohio in that situation.
I like it. All right. We can't get to every question live. So if we didn't get to yours, make sure, put it in the comments. We're going to jump in those comments. We're going to respond to as many as possible. It might be tonight. It might be tomorrow. It might be Friday evening before we can get to it. But I promise you we will get in there and we will answer some of those questions. Or, you, of course, you can always join us tomorrow and just toss it in the chat again. We'll be right here. Let's go ahead and knock out our best bets from today's show. This is a recap, if you will. Parker, tell us who you're riding with today.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with West Virginia as a favorite on the road at Houston. Iowa State as a dog against Cincinnati +5. And then Oregon in that big matchup this weekend. I think that the Ducks are going to do it. I'm going to take Oregon +3 points.
I could see it. I'm taking FIU -2 at home against UTEP, of course, on Wednesday night. I'm taking Georgia -31.5 at Vandy. And I'm going to take those Razor Pigs. Arkansas +19.5 at Alabama. Kyle, who are you trusting this week, brother?
I'm going to take Temple and North Texas over 70.5 and Navy and Charlotte under 43.5.
Very, very nice. All right. Now the best bets are out of the way. Remember, claim your 125% sign-up bonus and your 30 risk-free bets for 30 years of BetUS. Of course, you already know BetUS is giving away a tough truck. So let's see who the winner of today's free entry is. And that would be Devin Elliott. I hope I said that right. Devon or Devin? I haven't seen it with an E, but that's a pretty cool name. So Devin Elliott, we appreciate you. You are today's winner. Contact us on Twitter at BetUSTV to claim your entries. Now, if the rest of you didn't guess correctly, or you did and you were not selected, you can still win the truck. We're giving away one entry on every college football show. For more details, make sure and head over to BetUSTV.com/toughtruck. All right. That is going to do it for today's show. That was a fun one. We're going to be back again tomorrow, same time, same place, to preview the afternoon and the evening slate. Set your reminders. That way you can join us live. You can have another chance at winning the BetUS Tough Truck. Thank you for everybody tuning in today. It means a bunch to us. We appreciate all of the new super fans, etc. Those emojis are classic. We certainly appreciate it. Make sure and leave comments. We want to know your picks. We want to know what you think about the show, etc. Keep an eye on the latest odds. Of course, BetUSTV.com/odds. and join the action at betustv.com/join. You can follow the fellas on Twitter. Parker is at StatsWar. Kyle is at KyleHunterPicks. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at WinningCures. We're going to redo this thing, right? With that said, time for us to get out of here. For BetUS, where the game begins, God bless college football, and we'll see you all again tomorrow.